You're about to listen to a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. Bethel is committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and leading people to believe, belong, and build faith at home. It's our hope that God will encourage you through the preaching of His Word.
We're traveling through the Gospels, looking at stories of Jesus meeting people and extending grace to them. We're hearing about God's amazing grace, not just pretty good grace, not just okay, God's amazing grace. It's really kind of a story of realizing that things are not always as they seem. That's an important lesson to learn in life. Things are not always as they seem. You know, but let me tell you a story of a time we were living in Barnesville, Minnesota. I lived there for 10 years as pastor at the church there. And this took place about 10 years ago. I've been here 6 years, so 4 years before we moved to Fergus Falls. My then soon-to-be son-in-law, Michael Moran, I think they were engaged at the time to my daughter. Mike was engaged to my daughter, Janae. He called me and says, Rich, my car's not working. And I don't know what to do, where I should bring it. He wasn't real well connected in Moorhead yet. And so I said, hey, I'll help you out. I volunteered to have it brought out to Burnsville and have a mechanic friend of mine look at it. I had friends in the church who were mechanics and help out. And so I got the key from Mike, and the car was in Barnesville. I called up the towing company I use in Barnesville and asked them to run up to Moorhead. And I said, the car's in the Hornbacher's parking lot right off Main Avenue in Moorhead. Some of you may know where that is. And said, go up and pick up my soon-to-be son-in-law's car and bring it out to Barnesville for me. I said, yeah, sure. He said, it's a green Plymouth Neon. It's there in the Hornbacher's parking lot. Can you pick it up for me? He said, yeah, absolutely. We'll get it. So they went off to Moorhead, grabbed the green Plymouth Neon, looked something like that, a little different color green, I think more pea soup green than kind of lime green. And so I said, they went up to get the green Plymouth Neon. No problem. I did not know this car very well. I had not seen it. I'd never driven it. And so they grab the green Plymouth Neon, and they bring it to my house, and they drop it behind my house there and roll it off the trailer, and there it sits. I've got the key, so I go out and get in the car and put the key in, and it won't turn the ignition. Now, that's odd. No wonder it doesn't work very well. It won't even start. So I try. Then you know how you try, like looking for a button to push. You jiggle the steering wheel, you know, try the gear shifter. I tried everything, and you know, you try really, like, you don't want to break the key, and then you got big problems. So I try everything, and I call Mike and say, Mike, the key's not, it's not turning the ignition. I can't even try. I can't even test to see if what's wrong, electrical or gas or whatever it is. He goes, nah, it should work. Went and had some friends try it, and it couldn't work, and I'm just kind of befuddled. And then 2 days later, my soon-to-be son-in-law, Mike, calls me, and he's in the Hornbacher's parking lot, and he says, Rich, I'm standing by my car. I look out the window. There's a green Plymouth Neon behind my house. I go, what? I thought, could it be? I call a friend of mine who works for the Moorhead Police Department. I go, here's what's happened. I'll tell a story. He laughs. He goes, let me check. Calls me back. He goes, you've got a stolen car. I go, oh, my word. You know, you man, you know what happened? There were two green Plymouth Neons in the Hornbacher's parking lot. They grabbed the wrong one. You know, the funny thing I think about is, I think about the guy who's driving this car worth $200. He goes in to get milk and bread. He comes out, and his car, worth nothing, is gone. Can you imagine? You think you've had some kind of like befuddling days? You think, well, no one's going to steal my car, never even lock it. No one will steal that. Things are not always as they seem, my friends. We're going to read a story today about a guy who says, I am not going to be fooled again. He's not going to be pulled in by a story. He wants proof. He had confessed his love, his devotion for Jesus, and said, I will die with you. But what he did not count on was Jesus dying on him. You've heard the saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That was his motto. And then Jesus steps into his world. We're going to hear a story today of a guy who struggled with his faith. A guy who will forever linked with the word doubting. Doubting Thomas. This is a story of amazing grace. Jesus meeting this doubter right where he was. Showing himself. So let's read John 20, verse 24 through 31. If you're able, would you stand as we read this? John 20, verses 24 through 31. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, so the word Thomas means twin, word Didymus means twin. So Thomas is known as a twin, because he was. One of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, I put my hand and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Lord, this is your word. Speak to us. Open our ears. In your name we pray. Amen. Please, you may be seated. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. How could it have gone so wrong? I had seen Jesus heal sick people. I had seen a dead man come out of the grave. I saw him fearless in the face of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I knew he was the Messiah. I was ready to die for him and the cause of God's anointed. I just never dreamt that it would happen like it did. He seemed so weak, so powerless. He was arrested and beaten, stripped, scourged. I had seen him tell a storm to stop. Here he is, powerless. I was humiliated and embarrassed. I had trusted him. I put my life in his hands. I was willing to die for him. This is the way the kingdom of God comes. How is this in any way good? Saw the soldier, spear, put the spear into his side. And then on Sunday, the crazy stories began. The women who had gone to Jesus' tomb said that Jesus was not in the grave. They said that he was risen. And then later, some of the disciples said that he had appeared to them that same evening, and the doors were locked, and he had appeared right in the midst of them. I was gone. I wasn't there. There was this tension between wanting to be with the other disciples and yet fear of the Romans. I didn't see Jesus that night, and I simply could not believe it was true. I'd stood there watching the soldiers nail him to the cross from a distance, from safety. I heard the words that Jesus said when he shouted on the cross, "It is finished." And it was like those words, I could feel my heart slam shut and said, "I'm done. I'm finished." Jesus gives up on us. I was done with him. I'm finished. And so my friends, Peter especially, Peter is always convincing with their enthusiasm and their excitement. "He's alive," he said. "We saw him." I go, "Sorry. I'm not going to let my heart be crushed again. I am not going to trust. I will not believe until I put my hands into his wounds. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." So, do you feel for Thomas? Can you resonate with him? Have you been there? Can this be true, you say? You feel? The tension of wanting to believe on one hand and yet the cares of the world. The situation you find yourself in makes you hesitant or maybe protective of your soul. And you go, "Nah, I'm not going to trust again. I'll just stay at a distance. I may hang out in the same room with believers, but not me. I'm not going to trust. I'm just going to keep it safe right here." We may not say we're not going to believe because, you know, we're in Minnesota. We don't just say out loud we're not going to believe. We put a smile on and act like we believe, especially if other people in the room are believers. I'm not going to be as bold as Thomas and say, "I will not believe," but maybe our heart shuts down a little at a time, goes closed. Trusted before, I'm not going to trust again. Well, Thomas gets a lot of bad press. We can feel for him, can't we? Can't you? It's like, oh, man. I mean, who wants to have your heart broken again? And here's the beauty of the story. Jesus meets him. Jesus comes to him. He doesn't leave him with his doubt. He invites Thomas to put his hands into his side. It's like Jesus knows Thomas's struggle. And he says, "Peace." Thomas was distant. Jesus comes near. Thomas' heart was hard. And Jesus shows him his wounded flesh. We are filled with questions and disbelief. We want proofs. And Jesus comes to us and says, "Peace." And it's wounds that are the price of that peace. We want answers. We want God to explain something to us. But what we really do know is that we are loved and that Jesus is for us. He is in the room. He is what you need, not answers. We want a solution. Jesus gives us himself. That way we need not fear. We need not fear whatever's thrown at us. My friends, he is greater than our greatest fear. We want answers. We want a plan. Jesus gives us himself. It's so easy for us to be afraid in the middle of our questions and our concerns and our worries. Jesus says, here I am. We've been listening to the stories of different friends from our church family as we've been walking through of God's work in their lives, and God's grace shown to them in the middle of their journeys. So we asked Andrea Knick to share her story of amazing grace, how God has been with her in the middle of her questions, her fears, and an uncertain future. So let's hear Andrea's story.
We have three boys, and when they were 4, 2, and 8 months, my oldest and my youngest got sick almost within a month of each other. And it was just very scary times with Jackson, our oldest. It was unknown. We weren't sure what it was. It was more like checking stuff off that it wasn't before we found out what it was. And with Hayden, it was much more of a life and death type of situation. To have those both happen at the same time within a month, I can't even hardly remember the feeling that I had. It was just, you wanted to be scared and you wanted to be nervous and you weren't sure what was going on. It was frantic, but God was just there. We didn't have to ask him. We didn't have to stop what we were doing and worry about, you know, making sure we prayed or anything like that. God was just there. He took care of it. And it's not just, I mean, God obviously has grace for you, but it's the people that he involves that give you God's grace as well. I always, growing up, was so fearful of death. And then when I had kids, it just amplified like 25 times. This experience with my boys, I had to give that up, and I didn't think I would be able to. But again, God gave me grace to be able to leave Hayden in doctor's hands, to be able to leave Jackson in doctor's hands, and not have that crazy fear, that anxiety that they were going to die. It was basically, God just gave that, Andrew, you're going to be okay, 1 minute at a time. And I don't want to ever let that go. It's so easy, I think, to be scared of what comes next and be waiting for what comes next. And in those moments, and even after, you can't do that. You have to rest in God and his amazing grace. It's fun to come full circle and to see, you know, the boys are doing fairly well now, but to see how God has even given his grace to them and how they've made it through.
Thanks to Andrea for sharing. God met her. Hear from Thomas. So there we were, gathered together. It had been a week of me saying, till I see his hands. Sometimes I would just be in the background, kind of around the side. They'd be talking about all they'd seen. I'd be quiet. Sometimes I'd say, no, till I see his hands, put my hands in his side, I will not believe. And there, in the middle of the room, Jesus shows up. You could cut the tension with a knife. He was in the room. The doors were locked, and he shows up. And he says, peace. Shalom, he says. It was the last thing in my mind. And he turns to me. And he says the very same words that I had used in disbelief. My words saying, until I see his wounds, I'm not going to believe. And he says to me, feel my wounds. See. Touch. With grace and love. He knew my disbelief. He knew my fear. He knew my shame. He knew it. I felt his hands. I felt his side. I said, my Lord and my God. Jesus met me. He came to me. And all the shame and the guilt and the fear and the pride melted away with his touch. As I saw the wounds that were there because of his love for us, I didn't understand it all at that time, but as it's unfolded, we understand the fact that he died for me, for my unbelief, for my fear, for my shame. And he shows himself to me. Jesus met me. Yeah, I've got the title Doubting Thomas. But you know, I know who I am. That's a title that reminds me of the scars of my disbelief. But I know who I am because I felt the scars of the one who forgave me. The one who loved me. The one who died in my place. I know who I am. I am a child of God. I'm his beloved. And that is enough for me. So Jesus meets Thomas. And when he does, he is speaking to us. And in his promise to Thomas, his blessing to Thomas, he says, blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. He's speaking of us. We have not seen like Thomas has. We haven't touched. But God shows himself to us. He comes to us. He comes to us in his word. He comes to us through the hands of his church. He comes to us in the body and blood. We celebrate the Lord's Supper and he says, this is my body which is for you. This is my blood shed for you. He comes. He says, I am for you. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. So the call is the same, my friend. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That call is for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have come. You've come with your grace and you've reached out. We are grateful. You come to us in our fear, in our anger, and you show us yourself. So we say thank you. Increase our faith, Lord. Give us that gift again, please. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hi, I'm Pastor Dave Foss, and you just heard a sermon preached at Bethel Lutheran Church. It's our hope that God encouraged you through the preaching of his word today. And if he has, if that's the case with you, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love the chance to minister to you further or simply to cheer on God's work in your life in any way we can. Through our website at bethellutheran.church, you can contact us and we'd love to hear from you. So until then, may God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.